Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, folks. So good for me to be able to be with you once again. Just so honoured to be able to preach this morning, speaking from these books and these letters that Paul has written, and to bring encouragement at this time, letters from lockdown. And I want to speak this morning from just a couple of verses in the book of Philippians. So if you've got your Bible with you, it's Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 12. Paul says this: I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want to speak this morning about forgetting the past and looking ahead to what is in the future. Can you imagine, and you may have heard somebody say this, if our past, everything we'd ever done, was placed on a large screen for everyone to see, how would you feel about that? I know how I would feel. There'll be certain things that I'd rather people didn't see. But you know what? The past is the past. Paul encourages us in this passage that we are to look to the future. And I want to unpack just a few thoughts with you this morning, okay? And just assure you that it's okay. Everybody has a past. The problem arises when we start to focus on our past and allowing the past to take a hold of us. When this is the case, the Bible tells us that we run the risk of missing out on the blessings and the purposes of God in our lives. Now, in these few verses, Paul shows us not only how we should be dealing with our past, but also how to boldly approach and press on towards the future. So in verse 12, Paul says that he had not achieved some things. And we could maybe speculate, well, what are these things that Paul hadn't achieved? Well, Paul certainly encouraged us through his letters that we are to know Christ, to know him better and become more like him. That's part of developing a healthy relationship with Christ. And Paul acknowledges that previously, although he tried hard to please God, he had failed miserably. See, the Bible tells us that Paul, before he became Paul, when he was apprehended by God, Paul was a circumcised man. He was a religious Pharisee. Okay, maybe that doesn't mean too much to us today, but Paul was basically one of the elites. Okay, he thought that he was pleasing God by all of the things that he was doing. The Bible actually says that Paul was flawless in obeying the written law. Okay, so he thought he'd really made it, but he understood that before his encounter with the Lord Jesus, he really was missing the mark. The Bible even tells us that he was a zealous persecutor of anyone that followed the Christian faith. You may remember that account in, I think it's given in the book of Acts, where Paul is actually there as Saul, giving consent to the stoning of one of the saints, Stephen. Okay, Paul was quite proud of that. But what he did recognize is that although he'd done all of those things, some of them weren't very good, he realized the past was the past and all of that stuff was rubbish compared to what he had in Christ. Possibly Paul had all of those things in mind when he was thinking about his past. But you know what he says? And I like these words. He says, but I press on. Now, when we think of pressing on, I was thinking about this. You know, we've all got devices, haven't we? You know, we might press the home button on our phone. We're pressing on. But that's not the kind of pressing on that Paul was referring to. See, because Paul gives us a beautiful picture of a race. Think about a runner in a race. And he gives us this imagery of a runner pressing on, racing, stretching, straining towards a finish line. See, you think about a race when you're watching it on the TV, or maybe you're taking part in a race. You're just trying to put every bit of energy that you can to try and reach that finish line. You might not be the winner, but you certainly want to finish, and you want to finish well. So just get that picture of somebody stretching towards a finish line to lay hold of a prize with every ounce of energy that you've got. That's the kind of pressing on that Paul was speaking about. Now, what was he pursuing, or what was he pressing on to achieve? Was it to basically gain Christ as a prize? Could have been. Paul alludes to that earlier in the passage. Was it just to be found in Christ? Could have been. Was it the resurrection of the dead? Hey, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? He could have been that. Was it the heavenly prize and the call of God? Absolutely, believe so with all my heart. Hey, fact is, it could have been all of those things. But Paul is most likely pressing on to make sure that he doesn't miss out. See, Paul's desire, and I believe that this is, should be the desire of all Christians, is that we possess, apprehend, and seize and take hold of everything for which Christ has taken hold of us. Now, that probably doesn't make much sense just now, so let me just try and unpack that. See, Apostle Paul knew that God had chased him down. We're told in the Bible that Paul was apprehended, okay? And although he hadn't achieved the goal as a Christian, he was focused and resolute about one thing. Now, when we see in this passage, it could actually be two things, but let's maybe take it as one thing and maybe split it into two parts. The first part is this. Paul was resolute in forgetting the past. Okay, let me say that again. Paul was resolute in forgetting the past. Why forget the past? I actually said earlier that we all have a past. So is it wrong then for Christians to remember their past? I believe it could be a number of things. I believe that it's one thing for us to look back in reflection, but there can be a distinct danger when we are pausing and looking back longingly on the past that we had. I believe that's where the danger lies. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Bible where looking back can be dangerous. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 9, he says that anyone that starts following him and then looks back, longing for the past, is not fit for the journey of faith. He says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, remember what happened to Lot's wife. That stands as a stark reminder for us. Jesus said that a pillar of salt stands as a warning not to look back, as if the past were superior to what lies ahead. In Numbers 14 and verse 3, you may remember God had miraculously delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. He delivered them from their Egyptian oppressors and brought them into a good place. But the Bible tells us that the children of Israel reasoned that it would be better for them to go back to the slavery that they had encountered and the hardship of the Egyptian slaves than to go forward into the land that God was giving to them. Imagine that. They'd firsthand tasted of God's deliverance and brought them into a good place, but because they weren't experiencing what they were back then, they actually thought that it was better. The Apostle Paul pleads with us in these passages that we are to forget everything that would hinder our faith and obedience to Christ. It's not good to look back longingly on the past. Paul is actually encouraging us and literally screaming at us, don't let anything hold you back. What is ahead of you is far better than what is behind you. Can I give you a practical illustration? And I was thinking about this. Have you ever heard anybody mention the highway code in a preach? Okay, this could be the first time. Maybe you could tell me what rule 159 of the highway code is. Maybe you couldn't. I didn't know until I looked it up. But it says this. Rule 159. Always perform the mirror checks before moving off and check blind spots before moving off. And then it unpacks it a little bit more. Use all the rear and side view mirrors to check that the road is clear. Look around over your shoulder to check areas that you're unable to see in the mirrors. These obscured areas are blind spots for drivers. Next, signal your intentions of your maneuver before setting off. And then finally, look around for a final check and then move off only when it is safe to do so. Now, think about this. You're doing all the necessaries. I'm imagining I'm sat in my car, ready to pull off. What would happen if on that final check, I decide to continue to look over my shoulder? So it's no longer just a glance over my shoulder. I'm actually just totally looking back. Now, you probably don't have to think too hard about what might happen if I decide to indicate pull off, but I'm still looking behind. It's going to end in disaster. It's not going to be good. A glance behind is sufficient. This is my point, folks. But to ensure a safe onward journey, you've got to look ahead. The glance is necessary, but if you want to go forward, you've got to look in the direction you are going. So for us, forgetting means to be looking forward, no longer influenced or controlled by the past or what is behind us. We might ask the question, is there a place for healthy remembrance? Because surely there's times when we can look back and it's okay. I believe the Bible helps us with that. Not all remembrance is unhealthy for us as Christians. It's good and right for us to remember the great things that God has done for us. But if we start to dwell on the past as though it was somehow superior and better and the better option, that's actually quite dangerous. Let me encourage you from the Bible. Psalm 77 verses 11 and 12 says, "But then I recall everything that you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works." In Psalm 111 and verse 4, it says, "He causes us to remember his wonderful works." And then in Psalm 137 and verse 6, "May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy." So there we see, if we've been born again, if we love God, we can look back and remember how God has saved us, how he turned our life around, how he healed us, how we're forgiven. These are good things to look back on. Things that would inspire us to have faith and to further obedience to him. These are all healthy remembrances. So this morning, let me encourage you. We're to forget those things that are behind, but there is still great value to be found in remembering. Paul reminds us, though, we mustn't park there. We mustn't stop with just remembering. We must be ready to press on. There is real value, or there should be the greatest value, in pressing on. So Paul says, forgetting what is behind, looking forward to what lies ahead. So what does lie ahead? Well, I think straight away about our future in God, and the Bible has much to say about that. I love Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Things like heaven, eternity, our glorious hope, everything that we've been blessed with in Christ, these are all things that we are to look forward to. I don't know about you, but I long for the day when I will actually get to see Jesus, the one that I've read about in the scriptures, the one that I've placed my trust in, to be able to see him face to face, to be able to speak to him just like I would speak to my best friend, just to have that reality. I just believe it's fantastic. So I can actually look forward to that, and we can look forward to that as believers. What I love as well is Jesus assured his disciples in John chapter 14. He says, "I actually go ahead to prepare a place for you." Imagine what heaven looks like. Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If that were not so, I would not have told you. But you know what? I go there to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also." And the Bible tells us about the fact that Jesus is coming back for us. That's a glorious hope that we have as believers. Jesus Christ is coming back just as he said he would. I don't know about you, but that fills me with hope. That fills me with excitement. We need to forget what's behind and press on towards what is ahead. I've said that a few times this morning. Can I share with you a story? And I believe that it just really hammers the nail on the head of what I believe Paul wants to get across to us. On the 1st of June last year, 2019, there was a huge boxing match taking place in Madison Square Garden in America, in New York specifically. The challenger, Andy Ruiz Jr., was challenging Anthony Joshua, the reigning champion who held four heavyweight belts. He was challenging him for those belts. Everybody thought that Andy Ruiz, he was actually brought in at the last minute to replace another fighter, they thought he had no chance at all. There was no way that he could possibly win the fight that was ahead of him. Well, this is how the story went. On the night of that fight, Andy Ruiz Jr. defeated Anthony Joshua. Everybody was left in shock. They just could not believe what had happened. He had done the impossible. He had taken those belts and he actually became the first Mexican heavyweight champion of the world. There was such excitement. Boxing analysts pondered over what could have possibly happened. Anthony Joshua, he was a firm favorite to win. How could he have not dealt with this obstacle as he had with all the others along his journey? Well, do you know what? When they begin to analyze what had taken place, they actually went back to just a few hours before in the press conference that is always held before a big boxing match. You know, all the sort of the trash talk and all the talk is done before the fight. And then just before the fighters leave, they're allowed to have a head-to-head photograph with one another. And Andy Ruiz, which was something totally out of the blue, after the photos were taken, it was very, very amicable. He said to Anthony Joshua, "Would you mind if I held your belts?" To which the champion replied, "Absolutely, go ahead, knock yourself out." Not literally, but physically, metaphorically. He allowed him to hold those belts. And you know what? That might seem quite innocent. But you know what? In the mind of Andy Ruiz Jr., the moment he held those four belts in his hands, it was a done deal, psychologically, in his mind. He could smell what it was like to be the heavyweight champion of the world. He felt for a moment with those four belts, that victory that could surely be his. And of course, the rest is history. But you know, I believe that Paul in this passage, in encouraging us to press on towards the mark, he's encouraging us to take a hold of everything that Christ Jesus has purchased for us. Everything that God has made available to us. We might not have the complete victory yet, but the victory for us as believers is sure in Christ as we trust in him, as we forget what is behind us and we press on to what is ahead. The writer of Hebrews encourages us with this. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And you know, in verse 14 of that passage in Philippians chapter 3, Paul uses that phrase again, I press on. He says to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. See, he got the picture and wanted to give us that feeling that Christ as the champion that has gone before us is calling us on towards that finish line. Not only that, he wants us to finish well and he wants us to take our place on the podium. You know, in the first century AD, it was the done thing during the games, the kind of Olympic games that they would celebrate. The Greeks, past champions, would call up exceptional athletes to join them on the platform where they were. So get that picture of Christ having won the victory. He's won first place, but he's calling all of the runners, all those that excel in the race, to come up and to join and to stand with him. Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, don't you realize that everyone in a race runs, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. And that is what it's like for you and I, folks. We've got to press on so that we may finish well, and then we'll receive the promised prize. Paul recognized the call of God on his life. We too must recognize the call of God on our lives. God is not wanting us to stay in our past. He's not wanting even us for us to stagnate in our present, but he's wanting us to press on towards that glorious future. Let me say this morning. Don't let your past be the place of residence. Let it be your point of reference. Don't let the past be your place of residence. Let your past be a point of reference. Let me ask you this morning. You've heard what I've been saying about the race and about being a believer, trusting in God. But are you even born again? The Bible says, and Jesus said this so well, unless a person is born again, he cannot see or even taste of the kingdom of God. Being born again simply means being born from above. How that takes place, we have to simply place our trust, our lives into God's hand. We need to appropriate everything that Christ Jesus died and purchased for us. We know that he rose from the dead. He didn't stay in the grave. And our glorious hope for those that trust in him is that we too one day will be raised from the dead, no more to die ever again. Bible says, he that has the Son has everlasting life. That means life forevermore. It doesn't just start in the by and by when we die. It starts right here on earth. Eternal life can be ours when we place our trust in Jesus. So I want to pray with you this morning. Are you struggling to leave your past behind? Are you struggling to believe for a better future? I believe that there is no better future that can be found than that which is in Christ Jesus. Can I pray with you? Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that our hope and our expectation is only in you. Father, there are so many things that trouble us and set us back on this earth, and you didn't promise us a bed of roses. But Lord, I thank you that there is hope and that there is salvation, that there is healing in Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I want to thank you that you made a way where there was no way. Thank you that everyone that comes to you, you will by no means turn away. Lord, all we need to do is simply place our life in your hands. Father, I'm praying this morning if there is anyone that has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, that does not have the assurance of eternal life in him. Father, I am praying that they would do that right now. I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you have done for me. I give you my life. I confess that there's things that I've done in my past that I am not proud of. But I thank you, Lord, that as I come to you, you are willing to forgive me of my past and you are willing to exchange it for a glorious future in you. Jesus, I place my life into your hands. I thank you, Lord, there is no safer place to be. I thank you for all that you've done for me, and I thank you that you promise a glorious future for my life as I trust in you. Lord, I give you thanks for all that you've done and for all that you are about to do. Thank you for your great love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, the Bible says that you have been born again. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, you have been set free from your past and you have been set up for a glorious future. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love you to get in touch with us so that we can know and help you further as you begin your journey. Let me tell you, friend, there is no better thing for you to do than to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Trust that you've been blessed, and I trust that you take Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Thank you.